RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here's Lucas as I mentioned. And it's all over. It's all over. First round knockout.
Big
he's outreached Franklin. Retained his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome into the October 11th, 2021 edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd. This is the interview edition of the show. Do want to apologize not having an interview edition of a show the past week or so. Things have been pretty hectic in my life with travel schedule and everything I got going on with what I do business. But I do have three interviews for you here on this edition of the podcast. You're going to hear from two fighters that are going to be a part of LFA 116 next Friday night. Of course, that event will air live on UFC Fight Pass. Going to be coming from Vail, Colorado. You hear from one of the men that's going to be in the main event of the fight card. That is Josh Frim. Have Josh on the podcast before. And of course, spoke to him about what has been going on since his last matchup and his preparations for his fight coming up here next Friday at LFA 116. Also, you're going to hear from Michael Stack, who we've had on the show in the past. He is going to be taking on Jackson Filho, part of LFA 116. So spoke to both Josh and Michael about their upcoming fights. Also brought up open scoring to both of those fighters, as the Colorado executive director has been very public about his open willingness to open scoring. So got their opinion from the fighters aspect about their thoughts on open scoring. And the final interview, you're going to hear from a man that's going to be making his pro debut here at the end of the month, Fierce Fighting Championship 17 on October the 29th. That is Sean Patras, who has actually not had an MMA matchup since 2017, but has been active in combat sports. So all those interviews come up here on this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about this week's mixed martial arts action. Of course, as always, great way to show your support for the MMA Report podcast, leaving a rating and review. That really does help out a lot. If you just leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I really would appreciate that. Of course, you can always check out all the advertisers of the MMA Report podcast over at themmareport.com. So let's get right into the interviews, as you're going to hear them back to back to back. So up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Josh Frim. Then you'll hear my conversation with Michael Stack, and then you will hear the conversation I had with Sean Patras. And then following the interviews, I'll talk about this week's mixed martial arts action. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is one of the men that's going to be in the main event of LFA 116 coming up here on October 22nd live on UFC Fight Pass. Josh, man, as always, great to be talking with you. It has been, I guess, about 9 months since the last time we've talked. So how's life been treating you, man?
Man, life itself is good. You know, I'm still training every day. I'm living the fighter's lifestyle. Things have been good. Unfortunately, obviously, dropped my last fight. But in terms of just general life, dude, things have been going good. They've been looking up.
So when you say fighter's lifestyle, what's that definition to you?
Dude, I like to compare it to just kind of like old martial arts or even Dragon Ball Z. Like, I wake up in the morning, I get my coffee, say hi to my dogs, and I'm out the door. I go train. I have either a private in the morning, or I have every single day, Monday through Friday, I have 10 a.m. practice. Scattered throughout the weeks, I have strength and conditioning. I have privates. I have late night classes. Like, I leave my house in the morning. I don't get back till late at night. I'm just training. I'll eat good food and just go back to the gym, just a fighter's lifestyle.
So, I mean, hearing that makes me think of, like, there's got to be, like, a rest day, off day. Is that something where it's just you listening to your body when your body is saying, Josh, hey, we need a break here?
Yeah. I don't necessarily have a set off day, a set rest day, because even on my rest days, you know, I got a girlfriend. She wants to go hiking. She wants to go in the mountains. We want to take our dogs running, go paddle boarding. So, like, there are days where I'm like, all right, I'm not feeling it. You know, I'll get an ice bath, a massage or something, but for the most part, no, I'm always going, and there is no set rest.
Looking at your Instagram, obviously one of your sponsors, a cannabis company out there in Colorado, I'm very pro cannabis. For you, was it something you turned to in terms of, you know, getting some relief for the body aches that you do have?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I necessarily turned to it recently. Like, I've just become more open about it. Coming from Pennsylvania, coming from Pittsburgh, like, it was a real taboo thing, like smoking, you know, was a real taboo thing. But now that I'm out here and like I'm around people that are normal to it and it's not weird, like, yeah, like this is part of who I am. It's what I do. And yeah, it helps with the fatigue. It helps with the muscle soreness. You know, just all kinds of benefits come from it.
Yeah. It's between that and CBD. I get back pain. I put that CBD cream on. Oh man. And it's gotta be, first off, you can't have that small dosage. You gotta give me some good milligrams on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't come in with this like 250. No. That is way. That's not enough.
Yeah, we need high milligrams.
Yeah, my mom was telling me she was just out in Alaska and they had 4,000 milligram CBD cream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like,
I'll give that a try.
Exactly. You know, obviously you talked about obviously the things in your last fight didn't go the way you had hoped for it. As you know, they always talk about, you know, as an athlete, you live and learn. Well, what would you say you lived and learned from that leading into this one?
You know, for a while, I kind of had to learn how to deal with it, to be honest with you. That was a really hard loss, just because I felt like I was right there. You know, I was on the cusp of what I was dreaming of, what I wanted. And I felt like the fight was going my way up until it wasn't. And, you know, all props to Greg Hegarty. Like, he did amazing. He did what he was supposed to do. And he got to go live out my dream, which is also his dream, you know, like he got signed 2 days later and then fought 2 weeks later in the UFC. So it was something that I had to personally deal with, you know, just seeing someone else that I was right in the cage with living out my dream. You know, I had to take some time. I took a week off, you know, traveled and just got myself back in the right headspace. And really, it's just confidence, because I do believe that fight with Gregory could have went either way. Like I said in many interviews, it was either going to be I catch him or he catches me early. And I felt like I was pushing the pace in the first round, obviously the only round. But in the beginning of the fight, I was pushing the pace. And the blitz that he hit me with, he missed most of the punches except the one that put me on, you know, shaky legs. And then I felt like I finally recovered. And then, boom, he caught me. And that perfect, beautiful technique on his part. Just confidence that I'm right there. I'm with these guys, and I still believe I'm next, you know?
You know, I've had the chance to be around football players for the last 18 years, and, you know, they're all film junkies, and they're all constantly, you know, obviously it's more about watching the things that didn't go the way you want as opposed to the things that went the way you want, you know, and you're just, you're constantly, you know, you're watching that one play, you're watching 20 seconds, you rewind 20 seconds, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For you, but is it a situation where it's like, okay, you know what? I went back, I watched it. I know what I did wrong. And you just move on and it's in the past, or is it something that always lives with you?
Oh, I mean, I'm a big football guy, and yeah, watching film is one of my favorite things to do. I like to sit and analyze it, and it did take me a while to watch the fight, but when I did, like, it sucks. I think it's going to be a heartbreak that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. But in terms of like an athlete growing, I'm not going to sit and dwell on it. You know, it'll just be like the memories when I'm older, you know, I had these highs and I had these lows, but it's not something I'm just going to sit and like sulk about, you know?
And you look at the last 12 months, you're one of the most active fighters there's been. I mean, yeah, you're young in your career, but this is your fifth fight in 365 days. I mean, like, as you think about where you were a year ago to where you're at now, what's the difference you see in yourself?
Just more so confidence in myself. You know, I feel like I have all the tools, I have all the physical abilities, I have the grit, I have the work ethic. It's just sometimes I gotta just keep reminding myself, like, all right, setbacks are gonna happen. That's part of this sport. I've had setbacks when I first moved here with injuries and everything. And yeah, I started getting the ball rolling. I was going on a decently good pace, and I've always wanted to be this active. It's just, it never has, you know, come to fruition like it's been lately. And yeah, I just want to keep going. The difference is I just want to keep active. I want to stay active. I'm always training. I don't really take a weeks off to go on vacation or anything. My girl hates me for it, but like, this is my window. This is my time now. I can do all the other extra stuff later on in life when I'm older, like going on vacation and doing all this other stuff. But like, it's just right now, this is my job and this is what I want so bad that I can't stop.
So where does she want to go that you know you're going at some point here in the near future?
Oh, I know for sure, probably going to go to Nashville. We've been trying to go to Moab. Like, she has a whole list of places that we're definitely going to hit shortly.
Nashville's a cool city. I'm not a country music fan, but Nashville's, yeah. It's a party city. There are reasons that I think what's the moniker's like, what, Vegas East or something?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard great things about it. You know, after my last fight, I went down to Austin, and like, I fell in love with Austin. It's a great town down there. I've heard similar things about Nashville. We have friends that live out there, and yeah, I'm excited to go check it out.
Do you have a bucket list of places you want to go to, you know, at some point in your life?
Yeah. My bad. Yeah, I want to go. My list is more overseas. I want to go see Italy. I want to go see Rome, go to Paris maybe, and visit all these places. Because I feel like America's beautiful. Everything here is beautiful. It's just I've never been outside the country. So that's more my bucket list.
Yeah, my wife is Italy. I don't know why it is for me. It's Australia.
No, Australia's one of them. I definitely want to get to Australia.
I don't know if I love the flight, but
you're going to need some medicine for that one. But
yeah, I know somebody who did. I think it was like 17 hours.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got to make a whole trip of it.
Yeah. I think for some reason, I think it's, you know, seeing the UFC show these, you know, different pictures of when they've done events in Australia. I'm like, that's kind of like a cool country to go to. Yeah. But obviously you've got the fight here in front of fans here. That's one of the big storylines with this one, taking on Renato in the main event. Is there a certain mindset you have about this fight?
I don't want to say that it's a certain mindset. It's kind of like the same mindset that I've had with all my fights in LFA recently. It's just, I want to go in, I want to perform to the best of my abilities, and I want to do something spectacular. I want to win the fight. I want to keep climbing. I want to keep going. It's just another opponent. Like, Gregory was a scary striker and a black belt. Renato is almost the same thing. The only difference is the height. That's all. Like, Renato throws bombs, and he's also a black belt. So, like, the opponent changes, yeah, but it's just a body in front of me. It's just I have to go and perform.
When you talk about spectacular performance, and I think like a scale of 1 to 10, that would be a 10. How close have you gotten to that 10 number in a fight, do you think?
Not even. I'd say 3 or 4, honestly.
Really? Okay.
'Cause the ones that I do have, they weren't, oh, wow. They were like, ooh, but they didn't make you go, wow. So, like, I want to do something that's going to make the people go, wow. And, like, oh, he pulled that off. Holy crap. Like, Anthony, like a Showtime kick off the cage or something spectacular that really makes you go, like, I just saw the Matrix, you know?
Is that more of something that just, it's something that just happens in the gym? You worked on it, then it's just, like, the perfect opportunity. You just see it. It's a read and react type thing.
Yeah, it's more of a reaction. You can try to set it up, and you can, you know, build repetitions to, if that window does open up, then you're automatically right there. But honestly, I think a lot of it just comes down to, I want to say, being mean. You know, I have a mean bone in me. Like, I have a mean streak to me, and I want to make things just be uncomfortable for people. And if it comes with being gritty or a spectacular knockout, that's just what I want to do.
You know, one of the hot topics that's going around the MMA community right now, and it seems like the man that runs the Colorado Commission is open to open scoring. And obviously, you're a guy that, well, you don't see, usually you don't see the end of the first round. The fight's usually over within the first 5 minutes. But, like, what is your take as a fighter on open scoring? Is that something you would like to see in case, you know, the fight gets in the second, third round or later, that you actually know what the score is, or are you indifferent to it?
Ah, man, that is... That's something I've never really thought about too much. Not because my fights lately have been short, but that is interesting because at some, like, you know, as a fighter, if you're real with yourself, if you're true to yourself, you know if you're winning or losing a fight.
Yeah.
Flat, plain and simple. I think this knowing the score could help coaching and help like strategy and whatnot. But I think when it comes down to it, you know, deep down, like if you're winning or if you're not. And I think it'd be a good thing. You know, it wouldn't hurt the sport. It would help it, I believe. I'm not against it. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, it's like I always wonder is how would it change the fight game? You know, because like I think of boxing and I think of 12 round fights and where we've all seen it. You know, one fighter is clearly up multiple rounds and that fighter doesn't do anything in that final round. And I wonder, would that happen in May or not? You know, will we find it where, like, if one fighter's down, say, two rounds, that they're just chasing their opponent and it because of them knowing the score, it actually kind of changes the fight?
Yeah, I think it would. It would definitely turn it less into a fight and more into a sport almost, like, yeah. Oh, I just got to win this round. I got to circle out. I got to avoid. Because like with these small gloves, I'm living proof. Anything can happen at any moment. So like if someone who isn't really in it for a fight and they're just trying to win at all costs, they would just dodge, dip, dodge, you know? Yeah.
But of course, I look forward to seeing your fight here, the main event of LFA 116 live on UFC Fight Pass, October the 22nd. Josh, man, as always, appreciate time. Of course, I love another fight on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, you can follow me at Josh Friend MMA on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. One thing I do want to say is I am excited to be able to fight in front of the Colorado crowd. You know, I moved out here about 2 years ago at the end, beginning of 2019. And I have yet to be able to fight in front of these guys that I've built such a relationship with and a great base out here in Colorado. So I'm just excited and I can't wait to put on a show for everyone.
Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that we're going to see back inside competition sets, back inside the LFA cage. Michael Mann, as always, man, appreciate the time. It's been some time since me and you have had a chance to talk, man. So how's life going for you, man?
It's going good, man. I appreciate you having me back on. And yeah, it's been a while. Bought a house since we last talked, moved to Windsor. I've been training, you know, at Trials and at Elevation, you know, at Easton's gym, Elevation, they also call it Elevation. So, but yeah, that's about the only differences really. I mean, last time we talked, I think I was in Vegas at Syndicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's been a long time for me, but I went through that home buying process, saw multiple homes before I bought my first home. So was it the first shot you found the home you wanted, or did it take some time?
Well, so we had been looking for, I'd say we kind of had our idea that we wanted to buy a home for about a year. Mm-hmm. We didn't really, you know, we didn't do any showings. Like the first, we did one showing, and then one day we did a bunch of showings in the same day, and then that's the day that we found the house that we wanted, and it was just like the perfect fit, perfect home that we wanted for us, and perfect neighborhood and everything. So we're like, this is the one. Actually, in the market that we're, you know, the market's kind of crazy right now. So in when we bought, it was back in April. It was even crazier. People were outbidding everybody, right? Like people were bidding over, yeah. asking price a bunch. We got it right on asking price. Our offer, the first offer that we put in was accepted. So, I mean, it was pretty big blessing. So yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. For me, and my wife, when we got married, bought the house right as we got married. And it was the third house that we ultimately put an offer on that we ended up purchasing. And it was honestly a blessing because we live in a circular street. So like you got the reason to come into our neighborhood. I live next to two cops. That always makes things real nice. No one really shady comes into your neighborhood, but yeah, it's man, that home buying process, it could be something that just, oh man, I don't want to go through that again.
It was super smooth for us, which was a big blessing. So that's nice. I mean, the first house we put a bid on, we got first bid too. We didn't even have to go over asking. It was nice.
And of course, you're coming off that win back in January, back in here inside competition. I know you're always, you know, we always hear this cliche in the fight game about, hey, you know, the version of me now will beat the version of me back in your case, back in January. But when you think about how you've evolved as a martial artist, you know, over these 7-8 months, is there something that you see in yourself, like to where it's a noticeable thing that you've noticed?
Yeah, man. You know, it's part of that too, is going down to pound for pound Easton's. I forgot to mention, I'm also training with J-Ho down at pound for pound, which they have great striking there, and just being surrounded by some other high caliber fighters, you know, the mental aspect changes as well. You know what I mean? And they kind of feed off each other. So like, that's a big growth. That's huge growth right there. Just learning new techniques, sparring and just getting new sparring partners. All that stuff's great.
You mentioned about the mental aspect of this game, and you know, whether we're talking about mixed martial arts, boxing, football, baseball, basketball, name the sport, the athletes always say this is way more mental than it is physical. Like if you were going to put a number on how much of this sport is mental as opposed to physical, what would that number be?
Man, you know, that's a hard thing to say. Like you always hear 90, it's always 90% mental, 10% physical, whatever. I would say, I don't know necessarily if you can look at it in sense of percentage, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have 100% mentally committed. You have to be 100% physically committed. So like you are committed to this game 100% of your being, right? Not just 90% physical, 10% or 90% mental, 10% physical. It's not necessarily that way. Like your whole being as a physical athlete, the physical part of being an athlete, you have to maintain your rest, your diet, your conditioning, all those things have to be 100%. You have to put 100% effort into, and your dedication and your grind and your discipline, that has to be 100%. So really, you know, like when you're talking about it, you have to be 100% and also balancing at the same time. So like there's times where you need to pull your mind away from fighting and rest and actually mm-hmm. give yourself some time, that soil to like refresh and soak up again. You know what I mean? Get its nutrients back. Just like you have to with actual farmers, you know, farmers have to actually allow the soil to rest a year and let the nutrients come back. So same thing, I think.
You know, it's like they always talk about how important sleep is. And I can tell you, like yesterday I had a, you know, Sunday working late, get on a flight to come back home. Like yesterday, I was just dead. I literally slept most of the day. Like today, I feel revived. And I remember I was talking to a performance coach about this months ago, and they're like, man, sleep is the number one thing for an athlete.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've actually talked to guys that, you know, most people say you should get 8 hours. I talk to guys that are like, yeah, I like to get 9 to 10 hours of sleep because of how hard they're rigorous their training schedule is. And most people like, all you need is 8. Really, you know, I guess it depends on your body. It depends what your body is saying you need. To say that you have to have a certain way time that you sleep or a certain way to eat, all that changes. That's what I've kind of noticed as I've grown as a athlete, is there's no specific outline. It is constantly changing. Your body's constantly changing. And so like, if you feel like you need some broccoli and tons of broccoli, eat some broccoli. If you feel like you need some more meat, or hey, I need to dial down on the meat, your body's going to tell you what you need. It's constantly changing. That's that balance part that's so difficult as a person and an athlete in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course you got this fight here, LFA 116 coming up here on October the 22nd. I know you had put on your Instagram about finally being back in front of fans. Like, this is, you know, you've had a chance to compete, obviously, in a different world that we've been in with, you know, with, you know, obviously, depending on where you're fighting, where fans can be in the building or not. Have you kind of thought about that, of how, you know, having that energy back in the building?
Oh, yeah, dude. It actually kind of makes me a little nervous, to be honest. I know a lot of guys really like that, feeding off the fans and the energy that they give off. I don't know. I've always just tried to like tone it out. You know, I've always tried to just ignore it and just think of what's at hand. You know, I look at guys like Patty Pimblett, which I saw, ESPN or UFC or something, just posted some highlights of him before he was in the UFC. And that dude feeds off the energy that the fans give. So did Conor McGregor. And I think that, if you're able to do that, that actually, like, and you're good, that really adds another level to people coming to want and watch you. And I've noticed that I'm kind of more like reserved. So I almost feel like, you know, I want to kind of learn a way to hone that energy, because I feel like if you do hone it right, you can use it to your advantage. And you can also use it to, as a detriment. Like, it can be detrimental to you if you let that pressure crush you versus let that pressure refine you. So there's a couple things I've thought about, but we'll see. I'll see how it goes.
And you got Jackson Fijo coming in here. He's been up and down in his past couple of fights, but what's your overall take on what he's going to present you?
I think that guy's I think he's just going to bring a fight. You know what I mean? One, he seems, his style looks more like he likes to strike. I saw in his last fight that he said he was a Muay Thai Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, which to me sounds like and the fight style that he did, he likes to strike more than do Jiu-Jitsu, right? Even though he's a brown belt and he's comes from Brazil. The last fight, the only guy that was trying to take it to the ground was the wrestler.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think he's going to stand there and bang, and I think that's perfect for my fight style, because that puts on exciting, fun shows to, you know, a good, fun fight to watch. So, I think it'll definitely be a fun one to watch for the fans.
Well, you know, obviously everyone wants to go out there and have an exciting fight, but at the end of the game, I mean, this obviously is, you got to go out there and get the win. Like, as you think about your keys to victory, I mean, is it more about having that mindset of like, this is what I have to do, as opposed to, okay, I have to stop this from him?
Well, he is a southpaw. So I've been training with southpaws a lot. I do. You know, he does have that brown belt in jiu-jitsu, so I have to be aware of him on the ground. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like his wrestling is – he likes to shoot for takedowns and stuff like that. I think he's probably more of a guy that will work off of his back. If he gets taken down and it goes to the ground, he's more of like a kind of working from his back type of guy. From what I see, he likes to throw good hooks and he throws decent kicks. To me, this is one of those fights where I feel I'm a better striker, and I feel that I hit harder, and I feel that I can put him up against the cage and just kind of beat him up and really beat him into submission, where is kind of what I've thought about this fight, you know, where we're just going to be beating the shit out of each other. And I kind of don't get me wrong. If I have to utilize the whole game and to win, I will. I've noticed that, you know, one of my fights, I kind of got into that brawler mentality and I didn't utilize the whole game. And I think that's what kind of lost me that fight against Kai, is I started beating him on the striking. He took me down and kind of held me there for a second, and it changed the whole game or the whole fight. So I will obviously utilize the whole game. I know I have a plan to where I know I can beat him, but I think really, it's going to be a fun fight. I think we're going to beat the shit out of each other. So,
I wanted to bring up a topic that has kind of become a little bit noteworthy. I know the Colorado executive director has been on social media, even though I think he's probably not a good idea for him to be on social media. Seems like he's open to open scoring, you know, of where after every round, you know what the score is, which obviously we, you know, as a fighter, would you be open to there being open scoring, or are you kind of indifferent on the situation?
I fought on open scoring. In that particular case, I definitely won the first round, and they scored it for the other guy. Like, I went back and watched it. The commentators were saying I won the first round. I, in the fight, thought I had won the first round. When I went back and watched it, thought I had won the first round. So knowing at the time that I had actually lost that round, probably according to the judges, you know, that's helpful, especially in my mind when I thought I had won it. You know, my coach was like, what? You lost? You know what I mean? So in that particular sense, I can see it being a benefit. Uh-huh. So like, hey, if you thought you were up and you're actually down, now it's time you got to change something, you know, and put, you know, find a way to win that fight. So in that particular sense, it is a benefit, but I also didn't like it. I thought it kind of took away from the cornering. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit of a distraction. So if you can do it right, you know, balance it. It depends. I mean, it's obviously something that's new. So people will get used to it. I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't care either way. You should know if you're winning the fight or not, right?
I think we also would, and I'm sure you've seen it, watching fights where a corner says something and you're watching a fight going, what fight is that corner watching?
Well, sometimes corners say that because they're trying to get the morale of their fighter, I think, you know? They're trying to boost their morale and make them have that little bit of confidence moving forward, you know? I don't know. I personally want to be told, like, hey, am I winning or am I losing? What do I have to do? That way I do what I need to do.
Yeah, I wonder how much it would change a fight. Because I think it can go one way or the other. You know, how many times have we watched a boxing matchup where we, you know, it's a 12-round fight. We know one fighter is clearly up more rounds than the other one, and that fighter just doesn't do anything in the final round. Like, that to me is the negative side of it. Of we have fighters who know they're up, say, 2 rounds to nothing, and, you know, other fighters down 2 rounds, and they're just chasing, and they're going up against somebody who doesn't want to engage with them.
Yeah, I wonder if it would change much, you know, because I guess maybe for those guys that their coaches are lying to them, but how often does that happen? I mean, not as frequently as you would think, right? I mean, so I honestly don't know if it would change much. I think what it would do is it would give an idea for the fans to know, like, where they're at, and just give you reassurance of knowing the fighter and the coach where they're at. I think that is kind of nice. But like I said, at the end of the day, you should know if you're winning that fight or not. Now, in the sense where, in my situation, it was a benefit, because I'm telling you, I won that first round.
I'm
not trying to say, like, I won it because I'm just tooting my own horn or anything. Like, I went back, unbiasedly watched it. Even in the fight, I thought I had won that round barely. When I watched it back, I definitely thought I had won it, right? So it felt closer in live action than it was replaying it. And they told me that I lost it. So that in that sense, it was a benefit. So we knew, hey, we're down around. We got to get that back. Even though I thought I was up. So when he was like, we lost that, I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So that was helpful. But like, that also kind of shows that the reffing or the scoring was kind of off on that one, in my opinion.
Is it tough to go back and watch a fight unbiased?
No, not for me. It isn't.
Okay.
Because when I watch the fight, I kind of watch it like I would somebody else's fight on UFC, right? Okay. So I changed my mindset of, obviously I like watching myself and stuff like that, but I'll change my mindset of how I was in the fight to more of a spectator now. You know what I mean? With the Kai Kamaka fight, when I watched that one back, he won the first round. I won the second round. The third round could have been a toss up depending how you score it. I could see how they scored for him. Right. So like in that particular sense, I was like, okay, that's fair. I could see how they scored it that way. So I was unbiased there and I was unbiased in this.
Of course, we look forward to seeing when that next fight or this fight is going to take place here. LFA 116. Of course, everyone can watch it live on UFC Fight Pass on October the 22nd. As always, Michael, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, I love to know anything for you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Yeah, man. Check this fight out because I'm telling you right now, it is going to be a barn burner. We're going to be beating the shit out of each other. Like I said, when I told you I plan on beating this guy into submission, I mean, I'm literally trying to break this dude. I'm trying to beat him up. And that's kind of like how I like to fight. It's kind of, I've always fought. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's MichaelStack_MMA. Twitter, it's just MichaelStackMMA. Tune in for this LFA card in Vail because it's going to be a good one.
Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be making his professional mixed martial arts debut come here end of the month, October the 29th. Fierce Fighting Championship number 17. Sean, man, appreciate the time. We were just talking right before we got started here on the show about obviously in terms of MMA, it's been a while since MMA, but you've been living the combat sports life of doing everything here. I mean, obviously, the past year and a half so for combat sports fighters has been an interesting time. Like as you think about your what has been going on the last 2 years in your life as a combat sports fighter, like is there a way you would sum it up?
It's just, I guess trying to wait for the right time to find the right fit with, team coaches and, better my craft overall. So, those three aspects, I really took into real big consideration. Of course, when I first started this, when I started doing mixed martial arts, I wanted to be the best fighter I can be. I wanted to be a real good fighter. I wanted to be, I just wanted to go through people and stuff. And, I started off real good, ran into some hiccups on the way. But that always kept that passion, that drive, that drive to be the best fighter. Like, I just didn't want to do this as a hobby or for fun. I wanted to make something out of this and, basically dominate and put my best foot forward. And, now it's just been all about timing and stuff, all about timing. I feel like, God works in mysterious ways and, I'm thankful that I can still compete and do this at this time and at this level and at this age. So, those were my biggest aspects.
What initially drew you to combat sports?
I always been involved in combat sports. Cause I started off wrestling when I was a little kid. I fell in love with that. And then I also played football too. So basically, I played college football. I got a chance to go overseas, play football, play for a couple of Korean two teams, but, things weren't going as well. And then, I met a guy named Tyree Hall. Basically just would go over there. Like, I was interested, would go to a couple of his practices and, I would just join in on a class. And then, I actually went to an MMA event and, I kind of fell in love with it. So I was like, I can do this, let me get my feet wet. So, I started training up under him and, the rest was history. And then that's how I just kind of fell in love and I developed a real big passion for it. So
I know over the years I've talked to fighters who have ultimately come from the gridiron and stepped into the combat sports realm and always ask them about what is the best attribute you brought from the football field to the mixed martial arts mat for you? What is it?
Let me see. My athleticism, I'm very explosive, very fast and stuff, very quick, very strong for my size. As far as like a mental aspect, a lot of people don't take into consideration being able to work with coaches, teams and stuff, being adaptable, being coachable and stuff. I felt like that's a big, because, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, at times there's a lot of people, you know, they don't take that in consideration. There's a lot of people that's not real coachable. They're not willing to learn and stuff. So I think I brought those aspects over into my MMA game. And then just being hard-nosed and gritty and stuff, you know, just not being afraid to, you know, always stick your face. And, you know, I don't really, you know, care about fun. Like, what you're going to do is basically what I'm going to do to you. So
what position did you play in college football?
I played DB and a little bit of running back.
Obviously, when I think of running back, because I'm involved in football broadcasting, running back, I think of, you got to have that vision. Like, and obviously in MMA, you got to have that vision, combat sports. Like, would you call your fighting style basically read and reacting? You know, in the football field, you grab the ball, you're reading, reacting of how your offensive linemen open up the holes. I mean, do you feel like they've kind of correlated themselves?
Yeah, definitely. I'm able to really read and react. I can, you know, I'm pretty confident, like, in my vision, to, you know, see what's coming in and then react off that. But I'm also, cause I played mostly I was running back, but I also played DB most of the time. So it was basically, that's another read and react when you got to guard the receiver, guard, and then react on trying to make a tackle, trying to react on just play recognition. So that works on. I think that's where I got that from, my, you know, being a defensive back, you know, just playing on the defensive side too as well. But I can be aggressive when it's time too. So, you know.
You know, that term aggressive, you know, we hear it in the fight game, but sometimes that can be a pretty thin line of, you know, when you start to cross that line for you, is that something that your coaches have to kind of, you know, pull you back a little bit? Because sometimes maybe they feel like, all right, you're kind of getting too close to that line?
Yeah, sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes I can be like, sometimes I'm basically like, because, you know, I don't want to hurt, my teammates or nothing. But yeah, that aggression does, like, can come out and stuff. I try not to, because it's basically all learning, you know, learning technique. And then when it's time to release it, you want to release it. So I do walk that thin line right there and stuff in terms of aggression when it's time, and then, you know, when it's time to turn it on, then when it's time to, you know, lay back. So
of course, you know, it's been obviously a couple of years since that last amateur mixed martial arts matchup. You've been busy, pro debut here. What's the mindset like heading into this one? Has the mindset changed, you know, since your last MMA fight in 2017?
Nah, I mean, it's because it's basically like, the only thing, I've been real anxious. Like, I've been kind of, you know, I've just been, you know, I've been waiting in, like, the show, because I've been improving, working with multiple different coaches, and I've just been wanting to, like, you know, just been anxious. That's probably been more so to, like, okay, I want to show what I got now. I want to get out there. I want to just, you know, I can do this now. I can do that and stuff. It's been more like a, anxious and just, but it's the same, you know, not the same, like a little bit different preparation, but, you know, the same everything that I applied since I started, you know, wrestling, since I started playing football when I was little, that same feeling, a little bit of nerve, but, you know, going out there just to you know, do my thing, you know, if I say the least. I don't want to, you know, be cocky, but I am very confident. So
you know, I hear people, you know, say that, and I'm like, I don't, in the fight game, I don't understand why people think cocky is a bad thing. Cause, like, you step in that cage door shuts, you got to think you're the baddest dude on the planet. Like, to me, it's like, when I hear people say, like, oh, he's too cocky, I'm like, no, man, that's like, you got to have that mentality.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think sometimes people, you know, I don't know. They'll never be, especially people that don't fight, they'll never be in that fighter's like realm and stuff. But, you know, if you know the game and stuff, you got to be like that. So,
of course, the man that's going to be standing across from you on October 29th, Julian Ruiz. What are you expecting to see out of him? Is there something that is in your mindset, or is the mindset simply like, look, I know he is. I know what he does, but it's about me.
Yeah, that's my. Yeah, I know what he is. And what he does. You know, basically, it's all, you know, what I can do stuff. I'm not, you know, I don't get wrapped up into any opponent and stuff. It's just basically what I'm going to do and everything. So, you know, that's my whole mindset and everything. I don't play too much into, like, you know, other fighters and stuff. I don't even really try not to get in wars. It's just basically, you know, because when I'm preparing and when I'm stepping into that game, it's all about, you know, it's all about me at that time. So that's my whole mindset, how I think about every, you know, about my fights and stuff. So
now, I mean, one of the things of, you know, you're not a very active guy on social media. So I want to try to get to know you a little bit. I got two questions for you to ask. I ask all the fighters when usually the first time they come on the show.
Okay.
Favorite app on your phone that's not social media related? I know you're not big on social media. So is there a go-to app on your phone?
Go-to app on my phone that is not social media. Fantasy football.
Okay.
The Yahoo Sports, I'm always on that. I'm switching up. I'm very competitive. I'm always trying to win and stuff. I have like two big groups I'm in, and I'm always trying. I'm always like, people don't know, like, even though I stopped playing football, I have a real big love for it. And, you know, even if they had Madden on my phone, where I can put it on my app and stuff, I'll be playing Madden. I'll be at work playing Madden all the time and stuff. So probably, you know, my fantasy football.
All right, you walk into the gym tonight. They say you got control of the music that's on the speakers. What's going on the speakers?
Oh, what's going on? Oh man, you can't. I got a lot of people that lately, right now, it's been, you know, it's been Benny the Butcher, an underground guy from not mostly underground. He's pretty known and stuff. From Buffalo, Nipsey Hussle, man, I got some Gucci. It's so many people. A little bit of Drake. Future, of course. I even like the old stuff. 50 Cent, Gino, always gotta have the 50 and stuff. Like that's a monster right there. Especially when you're working out. Even the whole crew back in time. Like I listen to a lot of old school, a little bit of Ice Cube from back in the day, Eazy-E, like everything. I'm basically a hip hop connoisseur, so a little bit of you know, everywhere. Anything that gets me in that mindset to like, all right, let's go and stuff, but also mellow it out. But you know, I would say right now my two God rest his soul, Nipsey Hussle and Benny the Butcher right now, so those two.
Awesome, Sean, man. I appreciate time. Good luck here in your pro MMA debut here at the end of the month. Of course, if there's anything else you want to mention, let people know about you. Floor is yours, man.
Right now, I just, you know, I'm always big thanks to all my coaches, from HI Boxing, Fresh and Paxton Academy and stuff, of course, Fresh and himself, you know, even Big Scary, Justin, Steve, everybody and all my friends back home and stuff, my father, my little brother, love them to death. You know, what we've been through, you know, I do this, you know, for them too as well. All my friends and stuff back home, you know, I got this one. I'm going to go out there and showcase and take this one. So, and thank you for having me on here. So.
And there you have my conversation with Josh Frim, Michael Sack, and Sean Pathras. I appreciate all those fighters coming on this edition of the MMA Report Podcast to talk about their upcoming matchups. Of course, Josh and Michael will be a part of LFA 116 on next Friday night, October the 22nd. And then the following Friday, Sean will be making his pro debut at Fierce Fighting Championship number 17. Of course, all those interviews were done in video form, so they will be posted over at themairport.com. I'll try to throw some preview clips over there over all my Instagram, whether it's my personal Instagram, which is at Jason_Floyd, or the Instagram for this podcast, which is at the MMA Report. Of course, it is a busy weekend coming up here in in MMA. Of course, coming up on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, myself and Daniel will take a look back at what happened this past weekend. Marina Rodriguez getting that win against Mackenzie Dern. It was not looking too good for Marina Rodriguez there in a second round there when fighting off those submissions, but kudos to her for getting out of that. Of course, the UFC does have a card this weekend. That'll be on Saturday, an afternoon card that'll start at 4 p.m. Eastern time with the prelims. You got Aspen Ladd stepping up to take on Norma Dumont. Of course, Aspen Ladd replacing Holly Holm in this matchup. Of course, this is a fight card that was initially going to be headlined by Caitlin Vieira and Misha Tate. Of course, Tate had to pull out of the event after she tested positive for COVID-19. Then they moved on to say Holly Holm versus Norma Dumont would be the main event. And of course, Holly Holm pulling out of the fight due to injury. So now you got Aspen Ladd taking on this matchup, which of course, you know, she missed weight 2 weeks ago trying to fight at 135 pounds. Now she's taking this matchup here at 145 pounds. And one of the things that in relation to this matchup that I did find kind of interesting is actually when she missed weight there 2 weeks ago, it was a tweet from Chris Cyborg. Cyborg was responding to a tweet from Aaron Bronster of TSN where it was initially a quoted tweet from Brett Okamoto talking about you know, this matchup here. And I just found this really interesting of what Chris Cyborg says. She goes, quote, "Hopefully her body's electrolytes are being looked at. My significant weight cuts made a quick turnaround unsafe." So kind of an interesting note there from the Bellator featherweight champion. Of course, obviously everyone knows about obviously her battle with the scale to get down to 145 pounds. Also, you know, when you look at the rest of this card, you know, just for me, that kind of sticks out. Julian Marquez, a guy that I've had on the show here before, he has taken on Jordan Wright. That should be a fun fight. I would imagine that's a fight that's going to probably most likely play out on the feet as well. Nate Landwehr, I mean, he's a guy that is always very fun to watch. But, you know, Andre Arlovski, Carlos Felipe is your co-main event. Jim Miller's also on this card. I mean, you know, not exactly the most exciting UFC card on paper, but, you know, more times than not, you know, when you have these cards that, you know, maybe, you know, on paper don't incite you a ton, they do get do end up turning into, you know, a good night of fights. Of course, also on Saturday, you got Bellator 268. Of course, that'll be live on there on Showtime. Prelims going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, going to be headlined by the semifinals of the Bellator Light Heavyweight Tournament. You got Vadim Nemkov taking on, defending his Bellator Light Heavyweight title against Julius Angelikius. Of course, Julius stepping in to replace Anthony Rumblejohns, who pulled out of this fight two, 3 weeks ago at this point. Of course, co-main event, you got Ryan Bader taking on Corey Anderson. To me, Benson Henderson, Brent Primus, that's a very interesting fight there at 155 pounds. Of course, you know, news came out last week of Scott Coker and Patricio Pitbull announcing that he is vacating the 155-pound title, and now the matchup between Patricio's brother, Patricky Pitbull, and Peter Queeley in November in Ireland, November the 5th, is now for the vacant lightweight title. So you got to imagine a win by Brent Primus has got to put him right there in line for a title matchup. When I look at the rest of this card, couple of names that stick out to me: Henry Corrales. You know, had Henry on the podcast multiple times. You know, Sullivan Cawley is another one. He's on the preliminary card. He's a 1-0 light heavyweight. He's one of the training partners of Ryan Bader. He is definitely someone that I'm going to be paying attention to in terms of this preliminary card. Lance Gibson Jr., I think, is another fighter on the preliminary card to pay attention to here. So I will tell you this, with the Bucks playing on Thursday, I get to enjoy all of Saturday's MMA. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to having a kind of a somewhat weekend off for me. So that's kind of a nice thing, actually, ahead to Philly here on Wednesday of this week. Also, should note, on Tuesday night, we have another episode of Dana White's Contender Series. We've got, the main event, Christian Rodriguez, a 5-0 undefeated bantamweight. He is taking on Junior Cortez, who is 5-1. Also, you got the Lorenzo Hood versus Martin Boudet heavyweight matchup. I am very familiar with Lorenzo Hood. And I would imagine when people are watching that fight on Tuesday, as the lead up to that fight is definitely going to be about the lack of the strength of schedule. Like, best way I put it. I mean, look, it's very much if you look at Lorenzo Hood since his time, you know, he had those two fight. He had a fight in the World Series of Fighting, a loss against Tyler King. You look at his last three fights, it's very much of a boxing approach. I mean, just he beat Ron Carter, who was 4-17 heading into that fight. Beat Jordan Shazier, who was 2-8 heading into that fight. Beat Jake Zog, who was 1-10. And I will tell you, when I saw, because I'm friends with his management group on Facebook, when I saw Lorenzo Hood was getting on the Contender Series, quite frankly, I was shocked. I was shocked. I did not think the UFC would take him in based on the strength of schedule that he's had over his past couple of fights. So we'll see how well he does there. I would expect Martin's going to be a sizable favorite in that matchup. Also, you got Mitch Raposo. Of course, we saw him on The Ultimate Fighter. He's been on the show before, taking on Jake Hadley. So you got two undefeated fighters, of course, because that loss in Tough does not count towards Mitch's professional career. Also, you got Chris Duncan, undefeated 155er, a part of this card as well. Also, you got Maria Silva, undefeated strawweight coming out of Brazil. And of course, you know, this is a card that, you know, this season of the Contender Series has been all about international fighters. And you see it, you know, another card riddled with international fighters. So I always enjoy it on Tuesday nights. When I don't have, usually Tuesday nights I have a recording in one of my studios, so sometimes I don't get to watch these cards live. But I will be looking forward to watching these cards on Tuesday night, and also on Saturday with the UFC and Bellator. Of course, myself and Daniel Galvan will have a podcast coming out on Wednesday. We'll actually be recording that tomorrow afternoon. That'll come out Wednesday morning. I will tell you, our number one topic this week is actually going to be a tweet from Gilbert Burns on Saturday night. And I would love if you get a chance to maybe shoot me over a tweet. Maybe you want to hit me up on DM over on Instagram about what Gilbert Burns said. And it was in relation to weight cut, you know, weigh-ins. And he said the rules for a missed weight has to change. Something like, if you miss by 1 pound, 10% of your purse, 2 pounds, 20%, 3 pounds, 30%, 4 pounds, 40%, and it keeps going like that, that's no fear for the real professionals, thought. And Kai Kamaka did respond when I had mentioned about it. And Kai said, some might take the 10, honestly, LOL. And I'll be honest with you, before he had sent that to me, I didn't think of it that way, but I was like, yeah, Kai, you're right. I think there probably would be fighters who would take the 10% penalty to maybe have a little bit of advantage over their opponent there. But I'm interested to kind of hear what you said. I've been reaching out to some other fighters and managers privately to kind of get their thoughts on that one. You know, the other thing I was kind of thinking about the weigh-ins is kind of interesting is how some commissions will go with the digital scale, while other commissions go with your standard, you know, doctor scale that we see there. So interested to hear what your thoughts are. Of course, myself and Daniel, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. We'll take a look back at what happened last weekend, some of the notable notes. Probably got to bring up Rob Font revealing that he actually had to turn down the opportunity to take on Peter Yan for the interim title because of dealing with COVID-19. So that was kind of an interesting note that he said in an interview with James Lynch. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about this week's MMA. And of course, who knows, maybe something crazy. It is Monday, so Errol Hawani shows today. So I'm sure there'll be a fighter that might say something interesting on his show, as Ariel's show is definitely appointment viewing, watching for me with his fighter interviews. And I will say this, I like this new Ariel Hawani. I like the Ariel that goes out there and gives his opinion. I really do like that. You know, obviously I've had private conversation with Ariel throughout the years, but man, I gotta tell you, just as a straight up listener, I'm digging how he's doing his shows now. So, but that is gonna do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. As always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the podcast. Of course, new episode will come out on Wednesday. Of course, be sure to show your support for the show, rating, review, check out the advertisers of the MMA Report podcast as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. New episode will come out on Wednesday on your favorite podcasting platform and radioinfluence.com.